Chapter 3 Styles makes it 3 entire days before he calls his father to demand news. He's proud of himself for making it that long, and annoyed when he has to leave a message. If he's going to go home for the weekend, he needs to start thinking about it now. It's Thursday evening, and he's trying to get a head start on his reading for the weekend. He's gotten so deeply involved in his sociology assignment that the phone actually startles him when it rings. He fumbles and grabs for it. "Hey, what's happening?" he greets his father. "A lot, and you're not going to like any of it," Tom replies. "Oh, geez." Styles pushes a hand through his hair and looks around for the others. Several of them are in the main apartment, watching television. Lydia, Boyd, and Mac are all in the study with him. He doesn't want to disturb them from their schoolwork, so he gets up and heads into Derek's studio, which is currently unoccupied. "Okay, lay it on me." "The reason I didn't answer is because there was another murder," Tom says. "A sorcerer named Tim Marciano. He's a little shady. Deaton's been keeping an eye on him and had issued him at least one warning not to get in over his head. But as far as we can tell, he hadn't done anything to deserve execution." "Hunters again?" Styles asks. "Definitely. Shotgun shells laced with mistletoe."
"Son of a bitch," Styles says.
"Okay, what's the plan? Tell me you have a plan." "Well, we might have a lead or two," Tom says. "Marciano had protective magic on his place. It wasn't strong enough to prevent the murder, obviously. But Deaton's looking into how the hunter got it past it, and seeing if there's anything he can trace."
"We do know that Stella Jones works with sorcerers," Styles says.
"Yeah, Chris is going up there this weekend. So yes, obviously, you can drop everything and come back to Beacon Hills while he's gone."
"Okay," Styles says. "You gonna let me take a look at the crime scenes?"
"I will let you take a look at the crime scene photos," Tom says. "We can negotiate from there."
"That's fair," Styles says. "Okay, shit, I'm gonna go. I want to get ahead in my reading if I'm going to spend the weekend obsessing over crime scene photos and hunter politics."
"Good thinking," Tom says. "I'll see you around 6, probably."
"Yeah, see you then."
Styles hangs up his phone and sighs. Then he sends the others a group text that says, "Meeting in the kitchen. 5 minutes. That will give all of them time to finish up what they're doing, and he won't have to round them all up himself. He heads into the kitchen to check and see if the peanut butter fudge he made earlier that day has solidified enough to eat. It has, so he starts cutting it into squares.
"Hey, a peanut butter fudge meeting! My favorite kind!" Erica says, smacking a kiss onto Styles' cheek as he starts handing out napkins with pieces of the candy on it. And then a kiss onto Boyd's cheek as he hands her one. Derek isn't quite as upbeat.
"What's going on?"
"Some asshole hunter is stepping on Chris's toes and killing supernatural creatures in Beacon Hills," Styles says. "First, the Walcotts, that family of Wendigos, and then a sorcerer last night. Henry and Rose are gone, so the likely suspect is Stella Jones. Chris is going up to Oregon this weekend, so I'm heading home tomorrow so I can make sure nobody tries to invade while he's gone."
"What fun," Scott says. He looks at Allison and sees her scowling. "Babe?"
"I'm going with my dad," she says, pulling out her phone. "He might need the backup."
"I think he's meeting with Mikhail, but feel free," Styles says.
"The rest of you can decide on your own. I know we're only a month into the semester, and we've all got projects and work to do. I'd like at least 2 or 3 people back with me, but you don't all have to come."
There's a few minutes of general debate. Normally, Erica would be the first to say she could go, since she isn't in school, but she has a photo shoot over the weekend. Lydia is in the middle of some project involving string theory. Boyd has a presentation due on Monday, and Mac is in the middle of a web design project. In the end, Scott, Danny, Isaac, and, of course, Derek agree to go with Styles.
"You're sure you want to come along?" Chris asks, packing up the last of his things and zipping up his bags. It's not going to be a fun trip.
Will I get to punch Stella in the face? Allison asks.
Probably not.
Allison makes a face at him. Yes, I'm sure I want to go. And yes, I'm aware that she hates me and my presence probably won't help matters. I'm just not sure that I care.
That's shocking, Chris says, but he seems amused despite himself.
He grabs his bags and heads downstairs, leaning in to kiss Victoria on the cheek.
Take care of the boys, he says, and she gives him an icy look. He heads out to the car.
Allison leans into the refrigerator to grab the thermos full of iced tea she had put there earlier and sees her mother frowning after Chris.
Everything okay?
She asks.
He's just been stressed lately, Victoria says. Grumpy and uncommunicative. You know how he gets, she adds.
And Allison laughs because she does.
I hope this trip goes well. I'd go along if it weren't for Phil.
Don't worry, Allison says. I'll take care of him. She gives her mother a hug and heads out to the car. 15 minutes later, they're at the airport. Chris has chartered them a flight up to Portland, and from there it's only a short drive to Stella's home base. The last time Chris had visited Stella, he had arranged a meeting at her office, because he was being polite and didn't want to ambush her. This time he hasn't bothered. With Mikhail's help, he's figured out what house she operates out of and heads straight there. They've gotten about halfway there when his phone rings.
Allison, can you get that? He asks,
and she takes it out of his jacket pocket and answers.
Allison?
The voice is masculine and familiar.
This is Mikhail. I'm not going to be able to meet you.
Is something wrong?
Allison asks.
Nothing new. I told your father there might be an issue. Just tell him something's come up. He'll know what I mean.
Okay, will do,
Allison says. She hangs up and frowns at the phone.
Mikhail isn't coming. He says something's come up, and you'll know what that means.
She sees her father grimace slightly and asks,
what's wrong?
He's had some issues with his rehab, Chris says. He asked me not to talk about it because he doesn't want it spread around, and he didn't really give me any details. He just told me that depending on how he felt, he might not be able to make it.
That sucks, Allison says, and she means it.
Generally speaking, she likes Mikhail, even if he had spawned terrible children.
But I guess getting shot twice in the chest can do that to you, even if you're wearing a vest.
From what I gathered, the problem was less the bullets and more the concussion, Chris says. But again, he hasn't told me a lot.
Allison thinks this over, watching the trees sweep by the passenger window.
That's awfully convenient for Stella, isn't it?
With a grimace, Chris says,
yes, it is, and you're hardly the first person to have that idea. Trust me, we've done everything we can to tie that attempted assassination back to Stella. I'm 98% sure that she was responsible, but we can't prove it. So don't talk about it, understand?
Yeah, Dad, I got it, Allison says with a sigh. I don't suppose anyone has actually asked her about it.
That would basically amount to accusing her, Chris says. So no, I don't think anybody has actually asked her directly. I don't see what the point would be. She would be happy to lie straight to our faces. God knows it wouldn't be the first lie she's told.
Well, we're gonna kick her ass,
Allison declares. Chris gives a snort and then nods. Allison studies her father for a minute, notices lines on his face that hadn't been there before. She can see more gray at his temples. It seems almost like he's gotten older overnight.
Hey, are you okay? Mom says you've been stressed lately.
Chris shrugs.
No more than usual, I don't think.
You look tired, Allison says.
Chris gives her a look.
You do know that you're my daughter, not my mother, right?
He asks. Allison gives him an unimpressed look. He sighs.
Look, Allie, I don't like arguing with my cousin. I've known him since he was young, and he's always been a spoiled, arrogant brat, but this war is taking a toll in more than physical lives. 10 years ago, I never would have believed Stella was capable of trying to assassinate another hunter. I never would have thought Henry would push his sons so hard that he would lose both of them. This war is changing people.
I guess that's what war does, Allison says quietly.
Maybe, Chris says. I know what we're fighting for, and I know that it's right. I don't know where this poison started spreading in the hunter world, if it was my father or my sister or what, but I know that we need to purge it before we lose more people who used to be good hunters, like Stella and Henry. But I just don't know how to do it. It seems like every choice is a bad one.
Stiles has talked about that some too, Allison says. About how we can't be the aggressors because we'll just look like the bad guys. But just playing defense is ending up getting people killed.
Yeah, Chris sighs and shrugs. I don't know, Allison. If you come up with a good idea, trust me, I'd be willing to listen. In the meantime, he turns off into a driveway and parks the car. Let's see what Stella has to say for herself.
What Stella has to say is an abrupt, "What the fuck are you doing here, Argent?" as she folds her arms over her chest and denies them entry into the house. She's a tall, broad-shouldered woman, and pushing past her isn't in the cards. Chris seems fine talking to her on the doorstep.
Wanted to talk to you about a few people who died on my territory.
Stella sneers at him, and Allison wishes she had brought along one of the werewolves in the pack. The ability to hear heartbeats and detect lies isn't an exact science, but it's come in handy in the past, and she'd give a lot to know how Stella's responding to their words.
What about them? Well, I didn't kill them, Chris says. None of my guys killed them, but somebody did.
Oh, and you think it was me? Stella asks.
You've been straying off your territory, Chris says flatly. Don't try to deny it. Mikhail and I have known about it for months. But it's one thing to hunt down an Omega or two in Northern California, and another to come down to Beacon Hills and murder entire families.
A frown flickers across Stella's face.
I haven't been in Beacon Hills.
Really?
Chris sounds unimpressed, but Allison, watching Stella's face, believes her. She looks genuinely confused. She isn't trying to protest the fact that she's been stepping off her territory, or killing Omegas. But this particular accusation seems to puzzle her.
I've been in Idaho for the past 2 weeks, Stella says.
Only got back last night. You can check with my guys if you really care that much.
Even if you didn't do it personally.
Stella cuts him off.
Stop wasting my time, Argent. I don't give a fuck who's killing families in Beacon Hills. I've got real work to do. So get the hell off my territory. And don't even try to threaten me. I'm not afraid of the two of you.
Allison sees her opportunity and takes it.
Well, Mikhail Aronson was going to come, except I hear somebody shot him.
At this, Stella smirks.
Yeah, I heard that too.
And I know you think it was me.
It wasn't. You know how I know that?
Because I know who it was, and you are barking so far up the wrong tree with that one, you can't even imagine. Now, are we done here?
Chris narrows his eyes at her.
Not until you agree to stay on your territory. We made a deal.
Yeah, that if you killed Eli, I would support you. At the Conclave.
But the Conclave is almost a year away, Argent. A lot can happen in a year. If I'm lucky, the question of whether or not to support you won't even come up there, because it'll all already be settled.
She steps back and closes the door in their face.
That could have gone better, Chris says wearily.
Allison just gives a tight little smile. Well, she's right about one thing, she says. A lot can happen in a year. Styles spends most of Saturday going over the crime scene photos and evidence with his father. They're both in agreement that it has to have been a hunter. Styles is less sure about whether or not a sorcerer was necessary. Marciano had protective spells on his residence, but Deaton has confirmed that if he invited the perpetrator in, they could have been circumvented. Admittedly, there was no sign of forced entry, Tom says. You think whoever it was talked him or herself into the house?
It's definitely possible, Styles says, and shuts the folder. I don't know. There was no forced entry at the Walcotts either. It's like they knew the killer. But Chris says he's talked to all his guys. I guess it's possible that one of them lied to him. Maybe we should interview them ourselves.
I'll look into it, Tom says. Chris won't like it, but it's possible that Stella could have gotten to one of them.
Okay, Styles says. He's interested in the killer's choices. Both the Walcotts and Marchanos were in a very gray area. The killer hadn't targeted families known to be peaceful, good citizens. So far, the people killed probably deserved it. Or at least an argument could be made that way. They hadn't strayed far enough to deserve execution under the code, but a lot of hunters didn't require as much of a preponderance of evidence as Chris did. When Allison calls and tells him about Stella's reaction, they agree that it probably wasn't her. Styles feels like if Stella truly wanted to challenge them, she would have gone after real innocence.
I don't know about that, kiddo, Tom says. I've done some research into Stella's history. Regardless of whether or not she's a fun gal, she seems to truly love and want to protect humans. I don't see her killing people we know to be peaceful.
Like Mikhail? Styles asks.
I don't think she tried to kill Mikhail, Tom says. Not from what Allison said. But from what I recall, Stella was truly incensed that Ruben Gutierrez had murdered other hunters. I don't think she'd strike at Mikhail directly like that. He shakes his head and says, that one might stay a mystery for a while longer.
Since we're barking up the wrong tree, Styles says,
ugh, my head hurts. What's wrong with these people? Tom shakes his head. Go do something fun with your Saturday night. Okay, promise me. Styles sighs.
Okay, promise,
he says, and heads back to the den. Jake has asked if he can bring Phil over, and the two of them are there by the time he gets there, and they're all playing video games in the den. Derek is sitting nearby, sketching but not participating. Styles gives them all a quick update, and there's a little bit of a debate over what's going on.
Why do you think this is happening all of a sudden? Scott asks, frowning. It can't be a coincidence that it happened right after Henry and Rose's visit.
No, probably not, Styles says, glancing at Phil. He doesn't want to talk too much about how horrible Phil's parents are, but some subjects can only be avoided for so long.
We know they didn't do it, but I wonder if they did some research, found some targets, while they were here, and now Stella or somebody else is stepping in to do the dirty work. That wouldn't surprise me, but for now, it's all speculation.
Maybe we should pay them a visit, too, Isaac says.
I'm a little reluctant to do that because I don't want to put Phil in any sort of danger, Styles says. But yeah, it's definitely a possibility.
I'll be fine, Phil says, sitting with his shoulders back and his chest puffed out in a posture of preteen boy's bravado.
Yeah, I know, Styles says, tousling his hair. But still, we don't want your parents to come back here for any reason, right? So let's not go getting in their faces. Not now, at least. We'll see what happens. Maybe Stella will step off now that she sees we're on to her.
They decide to make pizza, which Phil gets very excited about.
Mom never lets me have stuff like this, he says, watching Styles roll out the dough. Ooh, can I have pepperoni and sausage on mine?
Sure, Styles says. He's already dispatched Scott and Isaac to the store while he makes the dough.
Your mom goes for health food stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Phil's nose wrinkles.
Not just like she made us eat salad all the time, but she had nutritional charts and stuff. She only bought organic food, and we ate lots of stuff like chard. She said it was healthier than kale. She said she had no idea why kale was so popular. Anytime I wanted a snack, I got a handful of almonds or blueberries. I don't even like blueberries.
Jake comes into the kitchen and gives his brother a playful noogie. Aunt Victoria made him a peanut butter sandwich yesterday, and it was hilarious because he'd never had real peanut butter. And by real peanut butter, I actually mean fake peanut butter. Phil nods, looking sad.
We only had that stuff, which is like ground peanuts mixed with water and maybe, if I was lucky, a tiny bit of salt.
Being healthy can be fun, Stiles says. I try to make my dad eat healthy, but you have to know how to do it. Like, I make spiced apple chips and fruit smoothies and zoodle soup. That's noodles made out of zucchini. And basically anything with avocado. You can eat healthy without it being gross. But some people take it way too far. Like, people who do juice cleanses and stuff.
Oh, ugh. She made me do one of those for 9 days once, Phil says. I was so sick by the end of it. She was mad at me because I complained on the first day.
That sounded a lot more like child abuse than healthy living to Stiles, but he keeps his opinion to himself. Well, take it easy on the pizza. I don't want you to make yourself sick here either.
Okay, I will, Phil says.
They sit down to eat about an hour later. Stiles lets Phil help him with chopping peppers and slicing mushrooms. Like Jake when he first arrived, he has that deep-seated need to be helpful. It reminds Stiles of Isaac, actually, back when he first joined the pack and wanted to earn his place there. They sit around and eat and drink soda and talk about Allison's birthday, which is coming up in a few weeks. Surprise parties are a bad idea for people who lead lives like theirs, but Danny and Lydia have been talking about what kind of things they want to do.
You want to stay the night? Stiles asks Jake and Phil as they're doing the dishes.
Phil perks up. Can I? He asks.
I'll call Aunt Victoria and make sure it's okay.
Jake says. Unsurprisingly, Victoria is fine with having the house to herself for an evening. Stiles tells them that they can sleep in the guest room, since he suspects a pack cuddle session would freak Phil out a little.
You know, werewolves aren't anything like Mom said, Phil remarks,
as Stiles roots around for some spare pajamas that might fit him.
I know, Jake says. Believe me, I know.
The third murder took place on a Wednesday in broad daylight. Stiles gets the call from his father that evening to report that an old man on the outskirts of town had been killed. It's another death of someone who's morally gray at best, someone that Stiles would never have allowed to live on his territory if he hadn't been there first. He had asked Chris about it at one point, about the bloodshed during the 50s and 60s that could almost certainly be laid at the man's door. Almost, Chris had said, and Stiles had let it go at that. Stiles lies on his bed in the middle of a pile of wolves and stares at the ceiling. None of his theories make sense. Every piece of evidence seems to rule out one of their suspects. Henry and Rose can't be responsible. And if they had brought anyone with them or bought anyone out, Stiles has no idea who it is. Sheriff Stilinski says that he's managed to rule out all of Chris's men throughout a variety of means. And as much as Stiles would love to pin this on Stella Jones, it just doesn't feel right.
It could be an honest coincidence, Peter remarks,
when Stiles seeks out his opinion.
You don't really believe that, Stiles replies.
Peter shrugs. He's sitting on the windowsill in the apartment, translucent and thoughtful.
I've seen stranger things. You're sure it's a hunter?
I'm sure it's someone using hunter techniques, Stiles says. I guess I can't be 100% certain that it's a hunter that we know of.
Well, Peter says. I agree with you that anyone who was actually doing this to challenge you would have chosen targets very differently. They would have chosen allies, people who were close to you. This seems very different. I have to admit that I can't quite see the reasoning behind it.
Ugh, Style says. You know, it could be Henry. It seems like these are all people who almost deserve execution under the code.
Have you considered that it's Phil? Peter asks. Styles blinks at him. No, I can see that you haven't. He's an Argent. He's been well trained. He was sparring with Scott and Isaac at the den the other day, and he's decent. He would know the techniques, could easily procure what he needed from Chris's stores.
Jesus. I hadn't thought of that, Styles admits. I'm not even sure how I could go about asking. He must have a lot of free time on his hands, too. He could easily slip away from Chris or Victoria for an hour or so. I just say he was reading or exploring or whatever 12-year-old boys do.
He sighs. Well, I'm going home this weekend. Maybe I could figure it out then.
As you say, Peter says. But I suspect that this isn't connected to your larger war. It seems to have very different motives. Not that I can say what those are yet.
Okay. Hey, what do you think about Mikhail Aronson?
You mean, who do I think tried to have him killed?
Peter frowns.
I'm not sure of that either. Stella was an excellent suspect, but I find it interesting what she did and didn't deny. She had no problem with Chris knowing that she was stepping onto his territory and killing Omegas and other creatures, but she didn't kill people in Beacon Hills. And she says she knows who killed Mikhail and that it wasn't her. I don't think she would have said that if it wasn't true.
She's protective of her fellow hunters, Stiles says thoughtfully, but she doesn't like Mikhail very much. She's had no problem trying to steal pieces of his territory.
So she didn't care enough to get Mikhail killed, but she also doesn't care enough to apprehend who did it, Peter concludes. I wonder if that wasn't hunter politics either.
What? Stiles asks. What else would it be?
Peter shrugs. Revenge for someone Mikhail killed in his line of work? Or perhaps even something personal? People are murdered all the time for the pettiest of reasons. I feel like a hunter would have known he was wearing a vest, would have gone for a headshot, or even used a sniper rifle. And they clearly didn't care about getting caught, either. Just walking up to him in a store and shooting him while he was with his wife and daughter? Hardly circumspect.
God knows that's true, Stiles says. He sighs and says, fuck this! I'd have an easier time solving the disappearance of the Lindenberg baby. I'm gonna get some sleep.